Okay. The Gemara in Yuma Daf Chaf Ches discusses the greatness of Avraham Avinu, that Avraham Avinu kiyem kol haTorah kula kodem shenitna. There is a Ramban in Chaf Av Hey where the Ramban writes that this was all a Ruach HaKodesh, that Avraham Avinu was able to perceive what indeed the mitzvahs Hashem were. And that is the greatest manifestation of Avas Hashem, when a person overreaches and does above and beyond what would be considered to be the Shuras Hadin. And seemingly, if this was true of Avraham Avinu, this was also true of Yitzchak, and this was also true of Yaakov as well. If you look, for example, in the Tana Dvei Eliyahu, in Simen Vav, Mefurish, that the same thing is true when it comes to Yitzchak. If you look in Medrash Rabbah, Ayin Te Zayin, in Parshas Vayishlach, Vayichanes Penei Ha'ir, that's where the Medrash writes that Yaakov Avinu was Shomer Es HaShabbos, Vayichan Es Pe'ir means Kava Tchumim, you set up the boundary of the Tchum Shabbos, right? You know the Rashi, the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, Im Lavan Garti, V'Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti. So apparently what the Gemara writes explicitly when it comes to Avraham Avinu was true regarding Yitzchak and Yaakov as well. And no doubt that it begs the question that how then is it possible for Yaakov, you know, to marry Rachel and Leah, what for us would be an Issa Daraisa of Gilei Arayos, of Shtei Achayos. If you look in the Tshuvas Ramah and Siman Yud, the Ramah actually mentions the possibility that maybe, yes, Avraham Avinu was Makayim Kol HaTorah Kul Kodem Shenitna, but perhaps it wasn't true to the same extent regarding Yitzchak and Yaakov. The Ramban discusses this in Toldos and Chafav Hey, and then the Ramban at greater length in Parshas Achrimos, then Vayikra Yurches Chaf Hey, where the Ramban writes that there is a marked difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. That no doubt that Eretz Yisrael is unique in terms of Mitzvos HaTliyos Baretz, but you see from the Ramban that not even Mitzvos HaTliyos Baretz, even when it comes to a typical mitzvah, that maybe even a typical mitzvah, right, should be different in Eretz Yisrael as opposed to Chutz Laretz. So the Ramban writes the following, that this generally is true, that mitzvos masios, mikr hadin, begin in Eretz Yisrael. And the reason, you have to take the Ramban carefully, but the Ramban writes, a mashal, we do mitzvos in Chutz Laretz, of course. Imagine that you have an Eishes Melech, a Malka, you have a Bas Melech, who is exiled from the palace. But she still is going to act as though she is part of royalty. Because after all, she realizes that exile is only temporary. And ultimately, she is going to return to the Armon HaMelech. So the Ramban writes the same thing, Hatzivi Lach Tziyunim, that even though we are in Galus, it's necessary to have markers. It's necessary to keep up the avoda because indeed we're going to return. It's something which is stunning. A difference when it comes to mitzvahs generally between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. Recent trip to Eretz Yisrael, so we got off the plane. So the day was very short. So we had a minyan for Mincha. So someone came over to me and he said, should I put on tefillin now? So we put on tefillin now. He put on tefillin on the plane. But he wants, should we put tefillin on again? So I told him, yeah, Ramban, and Yurchez Chafei, you know, that you put on tefillin in Chutz Laretz. Now, you know, now you have an opportunity to go ahead and to do so. You know, so he was like a kippah surganik, you know. And I guess I didn't look exactly that way. So I said to him, Rav Lichtenstein put on tefillin. He was all like stunned. You know, so what Rav Lichtenstein? I said, Rav Lichtenstein, no. What do you mean, no? I said, yeah, he did. How do you know? How do I know? How do you know? Well, I live next door to Rav Moshe Lichtenstein. I said, okay, so ask your neighbor if his father put on tefillin when he flew in. Yeah, it's in Bispirsav. He said, where? I told him where. Then he came over after Minchin and apologized. He said, you know, you didn't look like, you know, like you would know Rav Lichtenstein and his role and this and that, whatever. So, then I introduced myself. So, it's unbelievable. You know, you did a mitzvah in Chutzler, it's fine. Now you're in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban writes, there's an enhanced giyum. And that's what the Rabban writes when it comes to Rachel and Leah. That in Chutz Laaretz, Yaakov and Meir Shtei Achayos. And then the Ramban writes, the bombshell, no, and Achrei Maos. And that's why the Ptira of Rachel was, as Yaakov was returning to Eretz Yisrael, oh, because now you're entering Eretz Yisrael, now the bar is raised, it's like unbelievable. This was something that Yaakov took advantage of in Chutz Laaretz, but not in Eretz Yisrael. Again, this is all part of the Hashkacha, but that's what the message the Ramban writes is. It's something which is quite unusual, quite fantastic, but that's the Chiddush that the Ramban writes. The Mishnah Melech has a Sefer which is called Parshas Drachim. And the opening piece in Parshas Drachim, you know, it's unfortunate that Sefer is not, you know, used as much as it should be. But beautiful, beautiful marachos. So in the opening of Parshas Drachim, Mishmach discusses what exactly was the status of Avos. What was the status of Avos? Like a theme for another Shi. Right? But there is a Ramban, the Ramban of Parshas Emor, right, in Chof Dalad Yud, that writes that the Avos did not have the status of Ibn Noach. The Ramban writes the Avos had an elevated status. They weren't really just Ben Noach. So on the one hand, Mamad Har Sinai was a Geirus of Klal Yisrael. But even in between Ben Noach and a full Kedushas Yisrael, their intermediate steps, right? Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim describes that certain mitzvahs were given to Noach and then to Adam and then to the Avos, because every mitzvah, every krisas bris was a tosefes kedusha. It wasn't just a matter of what is the history of mitzvahs, but rather asher kedushon mitzvosav etzivanu kadshenu mitzvosecha means if you have additional mitzvahs, it means you're set apart, and therefore the Avos had a unique status. And that's what the Mishnah discusses, that if indeed the Avos had a unique status, so one could envision, right, Geirus to that status. Geirus, we understand that Maamad Har Sinai is the Geirus of Klal Yisrael, Krisus Taftes, no? And that's Kachem Kavoseichem. Whatever we did at Maamad Har Sinai, that's what a Geir has to do in order to have a Kedushas Yisrael. But even Kol Dematan Torah, there can be a sense of a Geirus of, we'll call the status of Zer Avram. A Geirus of Zer Avram. So that's what the Mishnah Malach discusses, that once you assume there's a heightened level of Kedusha, so a sense of a Geirus. It's a Nefesh Asher Asa B'charam, that there was a Geirus in a certain sense. And if really there is a Geirus, we know as a result of Geirus that Kekatna Hanoladami, the Yuchsin indeed is severed. Mikra din daraisa, the yuchsin is severed. And therefore, if that's really true, so that's what the Mishnah Malach discusses, that is it so clear, nashtei achayos, that was their DNA, so to speak. That's true. But now they underwent a geirus, and geirus was katna on all the dummy, so therefore, this was not an isra of shtei achayos. It is true, we assume halach lemaisa midrabanan, that one could not have married as a guy, one cannot marry even lachar geirus. It's a din d'rabbana, right? That certainly is true. But mikra din d'araisa, right? The yuchsin now changes, and therefore that's not considered to be an act of gili arayos in any shape or form. So the Mishnah Melech writes that yes, in terms of Rachel and Leila, they adopted a new status, where indeed that was the case. There is a beautiful chiddush that the Maral has. It's in the Gor Aryeh. It's found in Parshas Vayigash, Mem Vav Yud. Where the Maral writes the following: even though it's true we speak about Mekayim Kola Torah Kula, or Lavan Garti V'Taryag Mitzvah Shemarti, Taryag Mitzvah sounds like each and every mitzvah. Does it really mean literally that Yaakov fulfilled each and every mitzvah? Right, all the Taryag Mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs of Beis Hamikdash and Kohuna and Leviya and the like, we know included in Tariq mitzvahs are many parshiyos. Yeridachas, Gerushin, you know, like many, many. Does it really mean literally that all mitzvahs? What would a legitimate distinction be? Somewhere else suggests, fascinating, that maybe there's a difference between mitzvah saseh as opposed to Yisrael saseh. Mitzvah saseh, yes, but not when it comes to an Yisrael saseh. Well, and why indeed would that be? You know, the Ramban writes already in Aseres HaDibros, right, in Parshas Yisro, Perachav Pasuches, that there's a fundamental difference between a mitzvah saseh as opposed to a nisulos saseh. That's what Ramban discusses, avas Hashem and yiras Hashem. And if I ask you, what is the motivation of mitzvah saseh? These are opportunities. These are privileges. This is avas Hashem. A person demonstrate avas Hashem. When a person refrains from doing something, right, that the Ramban writes is a form of yira. You safeguard that there's a certain awe, fear, reverence, right? So the Ramban writes that you should realize that mitzvah saseh and yisrael lo saseh come from different places. And the Ramban throws in his studying line that on the scale of things, the midas ava overrides the midas ayira. Wow. And then the Ramban writes, and that's esed ochel lo saseh. Wow, that's unusual. And that's esed ochel lo saseh. You know, it's not surprising that there's an opportunity of avas Hashem. Of course, we need makoros, but you know what? That can override because avas Hashem is considered to be the priority. Wow, so that's pretty fascinating. So the morale writes, even when it comes to Eino Metzuviyose, when we think about a concept of Eino Metzuviyose, you know, what are examples of that? Now, usually it's a person who's exempt from mitzvah saseh, who can embrace that mitzvah saseh, because that's a kiyum, that's an expression of avas Hashem. So women are exempt from lulav, suk, and shofar. Yeah, but they demonstrate the preciousness of, maybe one could argue, even gadol inim suviyose, you know, because that's an expression of the privilege, the opportunity, even though one is considered to be exempt. Yes, and we paskin gadol inim suviyose, that's true, but one can understand that you're exempt, but you seek out an opportunity in order to. But the same thing apply when it comes to, let's say, isurim. But the same thing apply when it comes to isurim. Right, that concept, like of an eino metzuviyose, you're exempt from an iser, but nonetheless you observe the iser. Is it so obvious? Indeed, that would be true. So the Maharal writes this, and just in that one piece, he quickly, right, writes three different sugyas. Wow. Number one is this, the concept of an eino metzuviyose, or the possibility that, yes, we speak about the kiyum mitzvah of the avos. It means mitzvah saseh. They fulfilled every opportunity of avas Hashem, but lav dafka when it comes to isurim that they were exempt from. And maybe that's why that, yes, Yaakovinu was mekayim, the mitzvah saseh, but if it's an isur that he's exempt from, you know, let's say I see this person, you know, he's acting as though he's a kohen, no? And I ask him, you're not a kohen. He'll tell you, but eino metzuviyos. You know, I'm observing isuri kuna as though I was a kohen. So you probably tell that person, you know, like, not. Why is that true? Maybe I'd say the following. You know, if you don't have a Kedushas Kohen, then you can't pretend. No? Maybe in Mitzvahs requires a Kedusha. I would say it lumdus in the following sense, that a woman has a Kedushas Yisrael, but Zman Grama is a Ptur. It's a Ptur. If it's a Ptur, you know what? You could opt in. You can opt in from an exemption, no? But let's say it's a hafgah, no? You don't have a kedusha. Is it so obvious? But I'll pretend. The fact that a woman can be known to live in Esther, does that mean that I can pretend that I'm a kohen? Maybe you'll tell me a woman has a kedusha sisrael, but there's a ptur. We once discussed, no? Chanukah Purim, afeinu abos ha'anes. No? What does that mean? Is that step three or is that step one? No? Step one is women are chayiv and misos. Step two, there's a ptur of zman grama. Now, afein hobo soanes. Does that mean there's no ptur? There's no ptur of zman grama. If there's no ptur of zman grama, it means we're back to step one. Or does it mean no? Step three, that's a numa chayiv of afein hobo soanes. And if it's a numa chayiv, that can raise a critical issue. Is step one and step three equal? Can a woman be motzi a man in the mitzvos that women are obligated in because of afein hobo soanes? If I argue the lumdus of afein hobo is there's no exemption, if there's no exemption, you're back to step one. No? If it's a numa chayiv, oh, now one can talk. You know, numa chayiv. Like Shagas Aryeh writes that, you know what, maybe kriyas ha-megillah is midivrei kabbalah, and women are exempt from that mitzvah, and afein hobo soanes is only a chiv derabbanan, a tosas samsachim, a davka v'ches. So therefore, maybe the chiyuv of men in Kriyas HaMegillah is different from the chiyuv of women. Is it so obvious, Chanukah, no, that women are obligated in Mahadrin and Mahadrin and Mahadrin? If you tell me there's no Ptur Zman Grama, I would say, you know what, we're back to step one. If it's a Numa Chayiv, Is it so obvious that that numa chayiv of af hein oso neis means you're chayiv in every single detail of? One could discuss. Right? All these are shiurim. But you understand that when it comes to inim atzuvios, there's a kedusha. Let's say there's a hafka. Does it make sense to have an inim atzuvios? No, the Gemara has in Gittin Daf Mem that if you see this Eved Kanani wearing tefillin, you know, that's raya muchachas that he's an Eved Meshuchar. That's a raya muchachas that he's an Eved Meshuchar. So I can ask you very simply, why is that true? Why is that true exactly? No? Can't an Eved Kanani put on tefillin as Einam Atzuviyose? He's still an Eved Kanani, but he's wearing tefillin because of Einam Atzuviyose. So I'll tell you, okay, yeah, maybe in principle he could, but in practice, that's really not done. That's not done. So if you have an Eved Kanani who now is putting on tefillin, he wasn't putting on tefillin all these years. All of a sudden now, he's putting on tefillin. That's an indicator of, like, something changed. No, you see this boy, he never wore tefillin. All of a sudden now he's wearing tefillin. Guess what? I guess he's reaching the age of Bar Mitzvah. No, something changed. No, so is that what the Gemara means? It's just an observation? It's just an umdana? Or could I argue a fascinating lamdas? Einam atzuvios is only when it comes to women who have a kedusha sisra on their septur. If an Eved is exempt from certain mitzvahs, you know what? An Eved is exempt from certain mitzvahs because he doesn't have a kedusha sisra. You know, when the Eved Kanani is freed, he has to be tovel again, the Ram writes midaraisa, to complete his gerus. He doesn't. Is it so obvious if you don't have a kedusha that there's a real sense of einam atzuvios? So that's like a fascinating deal. Like, when do you apply the principle of einam atzuvios? When indeed do you not? And maybe one could argue that, you know what, that einam atzuvios when it comes to mitzvos asay, but if it's an iser, you're not included in the iser. So maybe not. So that's what the Maharal writes, that maybe yes, Yaakovin was meticulous about those mitzvos, let's say mitzvos asay, but in iser also say there isn't an einam atzuvios. Wow. And with that in mind, the Maharal writes that, and then he writes, and that's the answer to two other sugyas. Wow, two other sugyas. That's pretty fascinating. Now, Maharal writes, Nida Samach Aleph. Ooh. Nida Samach Aleph is the following. If you have a beged she'avar bo kilayim, right? All of a sudden, someone's sewing a beged. And you know what? These are all wool threads. You know, on the side, there were a few threads of pishtin. And all of a sudden, I guess the guy got distracted. He wove them into the beged. Well, so now you have a beged of shatnez. And you know what? It's not detectable. You'll bring it to the shatnez guy. Now, he's going to get those threads. It's a needle in a haystack. Now, thousands and thousands and thousands of threads. And you know what? A couple of them are made of pishtun. So you're not allowed to wear it. A Jew can't wear it. You can't sell it to a Jew. You can't even sell or give it to a guy. What a guy is, mitzvah and shatnez? No, but you know what? You're going to sell it to the guy. But maybe the guy is going to flip it. No? I gave it to a guy. You know, he'll give it to his friend. He'll sell it to someone else. No? And it's not detectable. You can't just have a beged that the shatnez is not detectable because it can end up being worn by Yisrael. The Tosus has an incredible kasha. Tosus runs a beged. Why isn't there bittul? Not for us now. Why isn't there bittul? You're talking about thousands and thousands in a little bit. Oh, so Tosus writes like a bombshell, and that is bittul. You know what bittul is? You have heter and you have iser. So you know what I could argue? That the heter overpowers the iser, and therefore there's a concept of bittul. Shatnez, it's an iser taruvos. It's heter beheter. It's an iser bittul? What do you mean bittul? If something is aser and something is mutter, I can understand bittul. Here, what do you mean? The iser is the combination of. So you say, oh, the combination of some, you're subject to bittul. No, not when you're dealing with heter beheter. If the iser is taruvos, so therefore, wow, right, there's no bittul. That's a chiddush tosos. The rush immediately jumps. No, that rush in of samach aleph. Isn't there bittul when it comes to basa b'chalav? Isn't there bittul when it comes to basa b'chalav? Isn't that like shatnez? Heter beheter, but the combination is aser. So the rush writes a stunning chiddush. No, there's no bittul when it comes to basa b'chalav. But there is bittul when it comes to basa. No, it's not bittul. Wow. You know what lo sevashel means? But Lo Sabashal means we're going to see this in the next year. No? Because we'll have to talk about Gili Milsa, no? Rambam and Tumas Meis? You saw that already? Ooh, take a look at that. Take a look at that. That Lincoln Kesa Mishnah. It's unbelievable. No? It, the Torah says Lo Sabashal. You know what Lo Sabashal means? Derech Bishal Asritov. Derech Bishal Asritov. You're cooking, you add ingredients. Why in the world would you add ingredients? Now, you know what the answer is? Well, it's an enhancement. It enhances the flavor. Now, if I leave out this ingredient, you know, it's going to be very bland. So let's say that you add so little of this ingredient that it's not no Saint Tom. It's not no Saint Tom. That's not the Isra of Basar B'Chalav. That's not the Isra of Basar B'Chalav. That's such a Chiddush L'Rush, no? It's not that, you know what, there's an Isser Taruvos, but there's Bittel. It means if the Basar or the Chalav is so minute that its presence is not even felt, that's not called Derech Bishul Asvatar. The reason that it's Mutter, the Rush writes, it's such a Lamdus, no? Is not because of Bittel. It's because that, you know what, that you didn't rise to the threshold of Issa. Ravi Kvega writes in Reish Ches, such a Chiddush then, that even though we have a principle, B'chol HaTorah Kula, of Ein Mevatlin, Issa L'Chadchila, maybe that shouldn't apply to Basa B'Chalav. Mikra Hadin. If you tell me it's Bittel, you're not allowed to Mevatl in Issa. But if you're telling me that I didn't reach the threshold of Issa at all, is it so obvious that there really is an Issa? If the lumdus is that you didn't reach the level of taruvos, no? If there really is an iser which is subject to bittul, then we have a principle, vein mevatel nislachatchila. Yeah. But if you're going to tell me it's not even bichlal ha-iser, so is there an iser of doing something which is not bichlal ha-iser? Wow. So maybe one could argue that the concept of vein mevatel nislachatchila is much different when it comes to machalas asuros as opposed to when it comes to Basa B'Chala. That would be a fascinating deal. Right? So that's one Tosus. Right? The Tosus to Ramaschal Beged. Why isn't there Bittul? Okay, there isn't Bittul. No? The next Tosus, no, to Ramaschal Aval. So what do you do with this Beged? Right? You can't wear it. You can't sell it. You can't give it. We're afraid it may end up in the hands of a Jew. So the Gemara says, this is what you should do with it. O sebo tachrichin ames. Use it for tachrichin. Use it for tachrichin. Because if something is used for tachrichin, we really don't have to be afraid that, you know, a guy walks into yeshiva, he's wearing this funny shirt. I said, where'd you get this? No? He tells me, tachrichin. And I'm like, that's odd. No, you're going to start wearing tachrichin? Like, why? You don't have to worry about that. So, osebo tachrichin lemeis. Ose tachrichin lemeis. So, Tosus is bothered. Isn't there a Gemara Menachos? Daf mem aleph, loeg l'rash. Loeg l'rash. You're not allowed to mock an iftar. You're not allowed to mock an iftar, no? So you know what? I'm going to go ahead and parade with tzitzis in front of an iftar. That's not right. You're like mocking the iftar, you know, nifter's chashim and a mitzvah, and you're going to be performing a mitzvah. You're not supposed to perform such a mitzvah in the presence of... You know, is it appropriate to go ahead and take shatnez and put it on the nifter? You know what? You're a nifter. You don't have to worry about this. But for a chai, this will be nisa daraisa. So, if the Gemara says you shouldn't do it when it comes to tzitzis, why are you allowed to do it when it comes to shatnez? Well, so Tosa says two answers: the Rashbam and Ravina Tam. The Rashbam writes the following lamdas, which is, to talk about it. And that is that there is an iser of shatnez, that's true. Lo silbash. What does lo silbash mean? The Gemara says, dumya de levisha dispehana. Hana slavisha. Wow. I'm not allowed to wear a beged of shatnez, but what is called wearing? No. The Gemara says, "Dumi de levisha dispehana." Well, sometimes it's a big machlokas rishonim. All forms, some forms, you need levisha dispehana. Levisha dispehana. So, if a chai were to wear a beged, that he would not be nehne from, that would not be an Isra of Shanes. That would not be an Isra of Shanes. Even if a person is alive, you know? You know, the Mishnah Kalim has cases of Mochrek Sus. You know, it's 110 degrees out, but we're modeling now the winter line. So you have a beged of Shatnez, but you're not wearing it for Hanas Levisha, right? So that's one of the cases of Dovr Shinim Iskavim, that Hanas Levisha is considered that which is critical. So that's the Chiddush that the Rashbam writes, that if you're not Nehene from the Shatnez, that's not the Isra of Shatnez. So it's not that I'm distinguishing between a chai and a mace. The mace is not getting hanas levisha. And even a chai b'chi hagavna would be allowed to wear the beged. That's why, technically speaking, it's not called loig l'rash. That's the Rashbam. That's a fundamental machlokas rishonim. You know, if you're not getting absolute hanas levisha, where is there hanas levisha? When is not hanas levisha? Not, today, hats, you know, are made from the finest materials, no? Finest materials. You know, years ago, it was very unusual that you would pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars for a hat. Hats were made out of felt, no? And you know what felt was? Felt was the psolis, no? Psolis. Whatever the factories had left over, they would take all the leftover materials, they would press it into felts, almost like a, you know, polyester press, you know? So what was in that? What was in that? You know, there were times that it was very likely and reasonable that black hats were shatnez, no? Like unusual, no? Their shatnez, you know. So, like, interesting. Is that really? But the Gemara says kushinin. If you have something that's very hard, it's not really conforming to the body. Is that really called hanas levisha? Hanas levisha, you know. So, like, it's an interesting issue, right? Can I apply the Gemara of kushinin and demi delisha dispeyana? Tosfos says maybe it doesn't apply to when you wear something normally. Maybe it only applies to ha'alah, not to absolute levisha. Levisha, you know, like. You know, that years ago, I don't know what the Matzias is now, but, you know, in baseball gloves. And, you know, if they had gloves that were really very expensive, no? When I was young, they had a Wilson 2000. When I was growing up, it was a $100 glove, $100 glove. You know, what was the goggles? It was all leather. The pocket was leather, no? Because the typical baseball glove, the pocket was lined with all kinds of felts, no? So that was, you know, so those felts had shatnez in them very often. You know? Baseball gloves, no? Baseball gloves had shatnez. Black hats had shatnez, like it was unusual, no? Like, so yeah, you check your baseball glove for shatnez to make sure that the pocket, you know, that's it. Is that really called levisha? You know, is that really called a levisha? You put in the baseball glove, and the inner pocket has some lining that you don't get stung when a person throws a fastball. You know, is that... You know, that used to be like those cases, like the Tosos came to life when what is Levisha, what is not Levisha, and unusual cases. But, yeah, so that's the Chiddush the Rashbam. If you wear something without Hanas Levisha, now that's not called an Isra Shatnez. Huh? Then Tosos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, a second answer. Also a great, great Chiddush. That whole sugi and menachas of Loeg L'Rash is only by tzitzis. Only by tzitzis. Yeah. Why tzitzis? Tzitzis. Tzitzis is shkula keneged kol ha-mitzvos. That's what tzitzis is. Tzitzis represents, no? The tarya mitzvos, no? Rashi has the whole calculation, no? The chutin and the ksharim, and, you know, like, everything represents the tarya mitzvos. Wow. So, if something which is shkula keneged kol ha-mitzvos, like, that's what you're parading in front of an iftar. It's like you're saying in a wholesale way, you know what? You're a mace, you're chafshim in ha-mitzvahs. But it doesn't apply to other mitzvahs. Wow, that's Rabbeinu Tam. Doesn't matter other mitzvahs. Oh, so this chiddush of the Maral, he just like writes the very quickly. Maybe one could argue that loeg l'rash only applies to mitzvahs asay, it doesn't apply to Yisrael los asay. Wow. Just like the avos, mekayim kol ha-tzura kolam shenitzna, oh, maybe the same thing is true here as well. And I'll tell you the same svara. You know, you're exempt from a mitzvah. You're exempt from a mitzvah. You're exempt from an isser. You're exempt from an isser, I understand. But there's a marked difference. You're exempt from the mitzvah. You don't have an opportunity of avas Hashem. So to say in front of an iftar, you don't have an opportunity to fill a mitzvah, that's painful. That's loeg l'rash. But you're not violating an Isser that you're exempt from. Not the same, not the same. So just like Inimus of Yosef, that very same reason, Avayira, wow. So Maharal writes, he thinks the same thing when it comes to Loeg L'Rash. Loeg L'Rash. You don't have to limit it like Rabbi Natan just to Tzitzis, but you know, I'll limit it to Mitzvah Saseh, as opposed to Lo Saseh. Wow, that's an important Kiddush. And then Maharal writes the following, Chulin Sari Aleph. It also is an incredible Kiddush. Right? That's an incredible Kiddush. I mean, we'll speak about this Parshas Vayishlach. But the Torah tells us in Bereishis, Mem Gimel, and Parshas Vayishlach is Giran Asha, right? And Parshas Miketz, the Torah tells us the following. Yosef sat to have the Suda together with his brothers. The Torah describes Tavoach, Tevach, Vahachin. That you know what? The Suda was prepared properly. Tavoach, Tevach, Vahachin. What is Tavoach, Tevach? Shchita. What is Vahachin? Do Shchita and prepare. You did Shchita. What is prepare? So the Gemara says Tavoach, Tevach means Shchita. Vahachin means Tulhe min agid hanasha. And remove the Giran Asha. Oh, so the Gemara says, you know, if that's pshat in the pasuk, Tavoach, Tevach, Vahachin, the Gemara says, oh, Kamanda Amar, Gid Hanasha Neso Lebenei Noach. You see that even a Ben Noach was not allowed to partake of the Giran Asha, right? That itself is, it's interesting that in the Parsha of Vayishlach, the Torah tells us that Bnei Yisrael Shnadi, the Giran Asha. Who, what, where? No, like, it's just a fallback. You know what? That in Maamen Har Sinai, we're going to be told not to eat the Giran Asha. So it's like, stay tuned. No? Why in the world? Oh, so in Parshas Vayishlach, the Torah already gives us like a heads up. No? This is what happened, Yaakov, you know? And guess what? And you are in the future going to be commanded regarding. Wow, that's pretty heavy, no? Or can I argue, what do you mean? Parshas Vayishlach, the Bnei Yaakov were obligated not to eat the Giran Asha. And that's that incredible Chiddush of the Rambam. That you already know, because that's the first line in the Psicha Kalalas of the Prima Gadol. No? The Rambam Pirush Mishnah is Kufiyud. No? Where the Rambam writes, even though Bnei Noach and Bnei Yaakov are obligated Giran Asha, but the reason that we observe Giran Asha is not the same reason that they observe Giran Asha. They observe Giran Asha because of Ayishlach. We observe Giran Asha because of Matan Torah, right? So that's what the Rambam writes. Even if you assume that they observed Giran Asha, but it's not the same as our observance of Giran Asha, wow, the Rambam goes on. And that's the Rambam about Bris Milah. We don't do Bris Milah because of Parshas Lech Lecha. We do Bris Milah because of Parshas Tazria, like Chedushim in that Rambam. Wow. So Tavach, Tavach means Shchita, V'Hachein means Giran Asha. Oh, so if they saw to it that the Giran Asha was removed from that which they ate, oh, that's an indicator that the Bnei Yaakov were already chayiv in Giran Asha. So Tosfos immediately asks, now, what about Inim Atzuvi Yosef? What about Inim Atzuvi Yosef? Avram Avinim Kiyam Kol HaTorah Kol Kodem Shenitna. And Tosfos goes a step further, and don't tell me that's Dachuk. Because Tavoach Tevach. What is Tavoach Tevach? Shchita. What, a Benoach is chayv in Shchita? A Benoach is chayv in Shchita? So you have to say Tavoach Tevach means Einu Mitzuvi Yose. So why can't Hachain be Einu Mitzuvi Yose? No? That's Tosfos is Kasha, Tosfos. Two Terutzim. No? So how can the Gemara say, Kaman Damar, Giran Asha Nesar LeBnei Noach? What do you mean? Just like Tavoach Tevach was not Nesar, the same thing is true of Hachain. Well, so that's a pretty fascinating Kasha. No? Take a look at the Tosfos, two Terutzim. Maharal writes the following. He thinks there's a big difference. This is even a Chiddush on top of the Chiddush. Tavoach Tevach Shchita is an essay. Kasher Tzivisicha. Giran Asha is a los essay. Wow, that's what the Maharal writes, no? Of course, the Avos from Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. But Mitzvos Saseh. So to say that the Avos observe Shchita, it's a Pasuk, V'zavachta, Kasher Tzivisicha. But Vahachain is an Isser Lav of Giran Asha. Who says there's any Mitzvah Yosef when it comes to an Isser Lav? Wow. So these are the three Chedushim, but realize it's pretty fabulous, no? That the Maharal writes, take a look, Vigash, Mem Vav Yud. When it comes to Loeg L'Rash, when it comes to Tavach Tavach Vahachain, And when it comes to the Kiyum of Avos, Kola Torah Kula, right, and Yaakov and Leah, he writes, that's the distinction, Mitzvah Saseh, as opposed to Yisrael Osaseh. Well, that's pretty heavy. That's a pretty heavy, no? You know, maybe the simplest Eretz, in terms of Yaakov Avinu marrying Shtei Achayos, is simply this. Reb Chaim Elojner writes this explicitly in the Nefesh HaChaim, in Shar Aleph and Perach Chaf Aleph. And I think if you look back in the Rishonim, maybe this is already alluded to in the Rishonim. You know what? Imagine you overhear me on the phone, no? And this person is telling me, you know, there's such extenuating conditions, they can't sit in the sukkah, you know? So I say, no problem, you know? And then the phone rings again, this person says, extenuating circumstances, I can't sit in sukkah, and I say, look, you know, you have to sit in sukkah. You have to sit in sukkah, no? So you kind of, you know, in a very bekavedik way, you tell me, are you talking? No, like, what in the world? No, like, you told one guy yes, one guy no. Like, what? How can you do that? How can you do that? That's fair. The answer is, yeah, it's very fair. But not everybody has the same standard and the same expectations. That's fair. But I'll tell you, simple teretz. The first call was a woman. The second call was a man. No, you only heard half of the conversation, no? So if a woman is asking me about the difficult to sit in sukkah, you know what I'm going to say? You're not chayiv to sit in sukkah. If a man is going to tell me the exact same circumstance, what, it's crazy to say you have to sit in sukkah? You're mechuyiv in sukkah, no? In other words, there's a big difference between being mechuyiv adavar and being ena mechuyiv adavar, and a huge difference between mitzuviyose as opposed to ena mitzuviyose. You know what a difference is? Let's say there are competing factors. Let's say there's extenuating circumstance. You know, so a person will tell me, you know what, I'm convinced this is the shidduch, but a problem, it's a rayas daraisa, you know? So I'm going to say, no way, it's an isser karis, it's an isser misa. Don't tell me it's the greatest shidduch in the world. You know, people say such things, no? That, you know, who cares about genetic compatibility? It's the greatest shidduch in the world, you know? So maybe the answer is no, if it's not compatible. Ashkoch is, it's not the greatest shidduch in the world. No? That cheshbon, who says? No? Yeah, but let's say it's einu mitzuviyose. There's no iser. There's no iser. So if you were to come up to me and tell me, you know, I can't decide between the two sisters, the answer is both. I'm going to tell you, arayos darais. But einu mitzuviyose. That's what Reb Chaim, it's not so dramatic, but Reb Chaim Elojner writes, this was all einu mitzuviyose. And if Rachel and Leah, you know, realize that, you know, they were going to give rise, the imos, the shifteka, would you say no because of Eina Mitzuviyose? Eina Chinami, that, you know, all things being equal, Eina Mitzuviyose. But if there's a competing factor, if there's something compelling, and you're not Mechuya Badavar, So it's an absolute stirah to say if I'm not mechuyev b'davar and there's something that's so pressing, so compelling, that the answer is here, yes. But if I was mechuyev b'davar, then no. So in other words, that, yes, true, of course, the avos from Makayim kolot Torah kulo kodem shenitna. But that doesn't mean that one would ignore everything else, that everything else is like irrelevant. And if there is such an upside, and the downside is Einu Mitzuviyose, that the answer is an obvious no. So certainly not. Certainly there's a difference. So Reb Chaim Elojner writes that, realize that, you know what, that Yaakov Avinu was aware, you know, that there were Tikkunim Gdolim and the destiny of Klal Yisrael in marrying, right, Rachel and Leah. You cannot just simply say no because of Einu Mitzuviyose. You have to balance there. They're competing factors. And it's not a contradiction, it's not like all or nothing. And sometimes yes, and other times not. Well, one of the terutzim that we discussed is that piece in the Chiddushei HaGriz al HaTorah, the very, very beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, where the Bris Karav discusses Avram Avinu and Bris Mila, that there was a tzivui of Bris Mila. Sivui Bris Mila. So one can frame the question like in different ways. Maybe one can frame the question this way. If Avram Avinu was Makayim Kol HaTorah Kulo Kodem Shenitna, Why was it necessary to have a tzivui, bris milah? Avraham Avinu was going to do it anyway. Okay. Or maybe one can formulate the question differently, that if Avraham Avinu was makayim kol ha-Torah kulo kodem shenitana, so why didn't he already perform the mitzvah of bris milah? Why was there a wait until the tzivui? The same way he was filling other mitzvahs, why wouldn't he perform the mitzvah of bris milah? Okay, so the many possibilities as to why indeed maybe bris milah could be different. You know, separate shir, like all the possibilities that you find. Some in Rishonim, many, many beyond, you know. If bris milah is literally a bris, can you have a krisas bris as ein mitzvah yose? You know, a bris which is not bilateral, a bris which is unilateral. Maybe one could suggest a chiddush that maybe the timing of Eikav Shoshama of Makoli is only when Avraham Avinu reached a certain level of Kedusha, which was after the Bris Milah, and not before the Bris Milah. That was after Avraham Avinu was Mohel and he reached such an area, right? Maybe one could discuss the following. Bris Milah, you only do once. You only do once. Would I seize an opportunity to do a mitzvah that I'm doing once as Eini Mitzvah Yosef? If you can do it again and again and again, makes sense. No? That's a din in Pesachei Teshuvah, that's a heavy issue. You know what? I rent a home. And renting a home, not in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz Laretz. And it's not true of buying a home. People like to make mistakes, no? They think, you have a home, you have 30 days to put up a mezuzah. No, you buy a home, you're chayv mezuzah miyad. If you're socher bayis in Chutz Laretz, so you're only chayv mezuzah because mechsei kadar. It looks as though you own. Oh, so that's true, lachar shloshim yom. So, interesting issue of Moshe as a tshuva and so on, discussion achronim. Should I bedafka wait until after 30 days to put up the mezuzah? No. I'm not putting the mezuzah up every day. I'm going to put it up once. If I put it up right here and now, maybe I'm not chayv mezuzah right here and now. I just entered the rental. No, I'm not chayv mezuzah now. You know, that's not really not mechsei kadar. So bedafka, does it make sense to go ahead and to wait until? Or can I put it up now? Should I remove it and reaffix it right after 3 days? Because you know what? Now I'm a chuyav adavar. So that's like a fascinating issue that if you're only doing something once, so every chumra is like a kula, no? That you're being machmir, so to speak. You're being machmir, so to speak. Is that so obvious? One of the rabbeim came over. He was discussing the chumra, the briskarav, to drink a little bayayin at Kiddusha Rabbah. Even though the Mechaber writes Rei Shain Aleph, Kiddush Friday night, Mikra, you don't have to drink. But if you take, Mitzvah Mukhar, drink a little bit, what about when it comes to Kiddush, Kiddush Rava? Biskarav, that maybe Mikra Hadin, a person should drink. So not such an uncommon practice that maybe when it comes to Kiddush Rava, people take a sip, you know? So I pointed out, it's a Chomer, the Biskarav. We're just discussing my Torah, but you have to be careful. It can be Asli Dekul. You know? Let's say not at the Suda, let's say it's a Kiddush after davening, and a person takes a sip of wine, a little bit of wine. We know that like Hamotzi is poter ochlin, Yain is poter sharmashkim. Yeah, but Mishbrur raises a very, very significant machlokes. If you have a minimal amount of wine, does that exempt a shahakal, let's say, on the soda that you're going to have? Do you need a shir for Yain poter sharmashkim? So if you have a shir of Yain, of course, if you have a little bit, you know, that's a real difficulty. So do I make a bracha or not make a bracha on my shahakal? No? And you know what? There's a fasting machlokas for Moshe Shlomo Zalman. Let's say I have a shir of mezonos, kiddush makom suda, only a little bit of wine, right? When you make your bracha achrona, do you mention the yayin? You have pachos mika shir of yayin, but you're going to make the bracha achrona anyway. If you're making a bracha achrona, Moshe writes that chiddush, that it's not enough to trigger a bracha achrona. But if you're making the bracha achrona, you should include even that which is pachos mikashir. Rosh Shlomo Zalman disagrees. Mikra din ropos can pass like Rosh Shlomo Zalman that you do not. You do not go ahead and just mention. Interesting, like raya's back and forth. And we don't assume, well, you're making a bracha anyway, so why not? Why not go ahead and do so? So like, everyone has to be careful. You know, like a ma'achumra to go ahead and drink a little bit, but Clearly, it can be Asi Ledekula, Ledekula as well. So many reasons that Avraham Avinu, let's say, waited. He's going to do it now, a Chumrein Mitzvah Yoseh. He's not going to be able to fill the Mitzvah Torah's Mitzvah Yoseh. So Maybe that's not the case. Okay, like an interesting possibilities. So what we discussed in Parshas Lech Lecha was a chiddush, and that is maybe when it comes to certain mitzvahs, you can't really speak about inu mitzvah yose. Why not? Why can't I suggest inu mitzvah yose when it comes to bris milah? So the whole theme of that shiur and Parshas Lech Lecha was that the mitzvah bris milah is koveya the chalos shem aril. If you don't have a bris milah, there's no psul of aril. I point out like a great chiddush of the Yerushalmi, that you know what? The baby is born, day one, day two, day three, day four, the child's not an aril. You could feed that three-day-old child, if he's a kohen, truma. An aril can't eat truma. He's not an aril. He's not an aril. There's no chi of a bris milah. Day eight, don't you dare feed that child truma until he has a bris milah. In other words, that the yom shmini is koveya, the shem aril, because the mitzvah of bris milah, which begins yom shmini, in an incredible suffix of the Yerushalmi that we discussed a few times already, what about lel shmini? On the one hand, it's day eight. Day eight already triggers the mitzvah bris milah. On the other hand, milah is only b'yom and not b'layla. So what is the status of the night? The night, no? Is it b'chus rizman? What's the status of the first night of Rosh Hashanah when it comes to Tekiah Shavu? What's the status of the first night of Sukkot when it comes to Dalet Minim? Sukkah begins at night. Dalet Minim only begins at Yom. Is it really true to argue that the first night of Sukkot when it comes to Lulav is like the day before Sukkot? Or to argue, no, that's not true. The mitzvah, the yantav of Sukkot is koveya, the mitzvah of Dalet Minim, and that already began. Even if technically speaking, the mitzvah Snatila is only during that time, that there are real nafkaminas daraisa. Right in that question, like that's a heavy issue. So the Brisker Rav writes the following chiddush, that you know what? Without a mitzvah bris milah, there's no orla, there's no orel. So what do you mean ein mitzvah yose? What do you mean ein mitzvah yose? Like we discussed before, you're going to pretend. If bris milah means a removal, let's say, of a chalos orel in your chosam bos bris kodesh, and if there is no mitzvah bris milah, you are not an orel. So yeah, but just go through the act of removing foreskin. And removing foreskin is called inu mitzvah yose. So that the Brisker Rav writes, like a fascinating chiddush, that cannot be done b'toras inu mitzvah yose. Because it's the mitzvah bris milah that creates the hagdara, creates the status. And without the mitzvah bris milah, that's not, you know, it's not a game, it's not pretend. Well, that's like an important point. You know, the psukim at times refer to a guy as being an aril. That's even true if a guy has a circumcision. No, it means that, you know, like there's a bris milah changes one's status for Yisrael. Before a bris, after a bris. If there's no mitzvah bris milah, maybe there's no inu mitzvah yose. Well, that was the Brisker Rav's chiddush when it comes to, right? I think there are many rayos to in this discussion. And, we mentioned a Meshech Chachma now, that in the middle of Parshas Lech Lecha, the Torah tells us, Kadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avraham Avinu, Vayipal Avraham Apanav. Avraham Avinu fell in his face. Rashi says, because he didn't have a bris milah. Ad Shlomo lo haya koach lamod. No? How could he stand the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu? He didn't have a bris milah. See what the obvious kasha is? This is in the middle of Parshas Lech Lecha. And what about before then? What about before then? V'yamar Shem Alecha Chamei Artzacha. Doesn't say if you'll... So, as if Seicha Chamei writes, so maybe the same thing applied earlier. The Smeshechacha points out just such an exquisite diuk. The timing of the Yipul of Ram Apanav is incredible, exquisite, no? It's after the Tzivu of Bris Milah, before Avraham Avinu was Mahal. It's literally that window. After the Tzivu Bris Milah, before Avraham Avinu had a chance. Avraham Avinu was told, he's south of Ben Yosamim, Bris Milah, and Avraham is about to perform Bris Milah, and HaKadosh Baruch appears to him. That is the place where Rashi says that he was an Orel. Well, what about before then? Without a mitzvah Bris Milah, you're not an Orel. So every time before then, he wasn't an Orel. Every time after then, he was Mahol. But here, exactly, you know, like that instant, after the tzibui, before the kiyum mitzvah, that is the one time the Torah tells us, yom ha'rabban. That's pretty cool. No, like, that's the deal, because Meshech HaChon. Well. What does this have to do with us? Oh, so the Briskura points out the following. He says, the same is true when it comes to this Rosh Shtei Achayas. The same is true when it comes to Shtei Achayas. Wow. What exactly does that mean? You know, there is a Ramban. Ramban Yevamos Tav Tzarich Esamad Aleph. Are there arayos when it comes to a guy? Absolutely yes. Are there arayos when it comes to a Jew? Of course, no. But the arayos are different. The arayos are different. Ramban writes something like stunning, that the arayos of a guy are natural arayos. Natural arayos. You know? What we would basically like incest. Natural arayos, no? A mother, a daughter, natural arayos. There's certain arayos that are generated through issues. A person can't marry their wife's sister. Your wife's sister. Those are arayos, machmas issues. Machmas issues. The Ramban writes a fascinating hadara that a guy has natural arayos, but they don't have arayos machmas issues. And why is that true? Very simply. Because when I say you need issues to create this iser erva, well, let's say, for example, you know what? A couple was engaged, and whatever, the engagement was broken. Can you go out with a girl's sister? You know what? So, you know, we can talk about how smart it is to do that, but it's not an iser of achos. You weren't married, no? Without marriage, there's no iser of. Without marriage, there's no iser of. You need issues to have an iser of achos isha. You need issues. I'm going to add one word. In order to have achos isha, you need issues to Yisrael. Issues to Yisrael. V'haraya, a benoach is not mitzuv an achos isha. Even though benoach has issues. No? We discussed that sugya, Kedushin, Chavala, Yifas Tor. Eishes Yifas Tor. There's issues even when it comes to Benoach. But it's a different quality of issues entirely. And the issues of Benoach does not create this Rosh Shtei Achayos. For that, you need an issues of Yisrael. So let's say a guy will tell me, Ein Mitzvah Yose, I'm not going to marry my wife's sister. You're going to say, that's not called Ein Mitzvah Yose. Because you need an issues of Yisrael to create the Yisrael. And if you don't have issues, it's like saying after an engagement, I'm not going to marry the girl's sister. No, it's not called Ein Mitzvah Yose. The Hagdara requires the Tzivui. Wow. The Hagdara, that's the Chiddush of the Ramban. The Briskura writes, answer the question. Without an Issus of Yisrael, there's no Isra of Shtei Achayos. And saying, but nonetheless, I'm not going to marry, that's like pretend. That's like a Yisrael pretending to be a Kohen. No? That's pretend. Like if there's no mitzvah bris milah and there's no orla, but I'm going to remove it anyway, as in mitzvah yoseh. Mila is to remove the psul, the chalos orel. There is no chalos orel. So the same thing here as well. That's the Brisk Rabbi's Lechidish, no? That without an Ishus of Yisrael, you don't have these arayos. So, but I have a Petoras in mitzvah yoseh. There is no in mitzvah yoseh. It's not a matter of pretend. So just like you can't have Ein Mitzvah Yose when it comes to Bris Milah, you can't have Ein Mitzvah Yose when it comes to Shtei Achayos. Wow. So you take a look at that Ramban, and the Ramban writes this difference. Yishus of Yisrael, Yishus of Benoach. The Ramban just adds five words. No? The Ramban writes, V'harei Yaakov, Nosa Shtei Achayos. Take a look at the Ramban. Yivamos Tav Tzariches. There are different ways to understand it. But Rei Yaakov Nasa Shtei Achayos. So if you look in the Brisk Rav, he writes, this is exactly that Chiddush. What do you mean Rei Yaakov Nasa Shtei Achayos? No. Yaakov was not Muzer in Shtei Achayos. No, that means more than that, no? Yaakov Inus Makayim Kol HaTorah Kulo Kodem Shenitna. But he married two sisters. Hayitachin, how could that possibly be? The answer is that you don't have the Hagdara of Shtei Achayos without an issus of Yisrael. And without that, there isn't even a kim of enim of Yosef. And then the Brisk Rav goes to the beautiful thing, the kasha we discussed, no? And if the Rambam sheet is Birchas Eris and is Birchas HaMitzvah, so why do you mention all these things, you know? If it's a Birchas HaShevach, I understand. Arayos, Eris, and Nisuin, Kedusha, beautiful. Shevach V'Hodah. But if it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, why don't you just make a bracha k'tzara? That's the kasha of the Rosh, no? So the Brisk Rav writes the following, yes. It's a Birchas HaMitzvah. The Brisk Rav doesn't quote, but the Sefer Okeach writes, we discussed this in Shiklali, no? That you can only recite a Birchas HaMitzvah on a mitzvah which is unique to Klal Yisrael. Asher Kishon HaMitzvah Tzivanu. And if you're reciting a Birchas HaMitzvah on Ishus, you have to demonstrate that there's something unique about the Ishus of Yisrael that sets it apart from typical Ishus. What is unique about the Ishus of Yisrael? Also take a look at the Rambam, Arayos. And guess what? Erisin? In Nisuin? Oh, that's unique? No? Oh, so that's exactly how Chazal were Koveya, the Birchas HaMitzvah, Anishus. Asher Kiddushana Mitzvah Savit Zivano Al Harayos. Arayos is not irrelevant. Arayos is the indicator that this is a unique Ishus of Yisrael that creates those Arayos. V'asalana Ves Ha'arusos, Erisin. A guy doesn't have Erisin in Nisuin. No? Chuppah Kedushin. And that's what the Chasima Sabracha of the Birchas HaMitzvah is. Mekadei Shema Yisrael. Idea Chuppah Kedushin. If it wouldn't be a function of Mekadei Shema Yisrael, you would not be reciting a bracha. But that's the Chiddush that the Brisk Rav writes. That's something which is pretty stunning. I'll tell you, you can take a look, just last Mar Malcolm. There are more, but you take a look at the Chuvas HaRashba. Mechelek Aleph Simin Sadi Dali. You know, and the Rashba raises this question, how is it possible? How is it possible for Yaakov to marry two sisters? So take a look at the Rashba, a little bit unusual. There's even a Chuvas HaRadvaz, Tafresh Sarivav, that cites the Chuvas HaRashba and tries to make sense out of the Chuvas HaRashba. You know? Take a look at Chuvas HaRashba, right after this. It's a short Chuva. How is it possible Yaakov to marry Echayos? You know what the answer is? Da, you should know, Shatora Nuvuna al Gimel Amudin. You know what? The Torah Hashem has three pillars: Zman, Makom, and Kelim. Zman, Makom, and Kelim. Whatever that means. No. And the Rashba writes that not all Zmanim are equal. Not every Zman has an Isra Malacha like Shabbos and Yantiv. And not every place is equal. And not all kelim are equal. Now, that's what the Rashba writes. No? Like in the tshuva. No? That there's zman, there's makom and kelim. And not everything's the same. You know, some days have kedusha, some days don't have kedusha. You know, in the Chutz Laaretz there's no tshumas and maestros. In Eretz Yisrael there is tshumas and maestros. You know, the... You're fulfilling a mitzvah if you take a lulav and esrog, but if you take a palm branch, some other branch, you're not going to be becoming a mitzvah. V'lo royal lakiv kohen, a kohen can do this, and you can't do this. Like, you know, so that's the Jewish Rashba. So I have to try to figure out what exactly he means. No, not so clear. Like, the Rambam Stumim, like, it's known to be an unusual. How could Yaakov, the answer is, you know, what do you mean that the Torah has different, you know? The Pashut that the Rashba is driving in is the following. Don't be Madama Milsa, you know? What's the whole basis of your question? That we, La'achar Matan Torah, can't do this. So how could Yaakov do this? Realize it's not one size fits all, no? They're different. What's appropriate for Yaakov is not appropriate for you, no? They're different Zmanim. They're different makomos, they're different kalim. You can't just make gzereshavas and a hekesh to say what's true here is true there. You know what? How can you compare? That we would say typically, we don't do such a thing, Yaakov did such a thing. Why did you do such a thing? Because he's different. Just like they're different zmanim, different makom, different kalim. How is he different? You can answer any of the teretzim. No, how is he different? Because he was not mitzuvah. and this is a mitzvah Yosa, and there was something that was compelling for Yaakov Avinu, but we are mitzvah Yosa, or maybe it was an issue of Yisrael, and therefore it didn't have the same Hagdara. I realize you have to be careful. In other words, yeah, what Yaakov did was not a model. It wasn't a model for future Doros, but it was important for that time. You know, if you look in the Rachaim, in Parshas Vayechi, in Mem Tes Gimel, the Rachaim says that this was a Horasha. This was like a Nevuah, there was a Horasha. You know, how could Eliyahu Navi bring a Karmel, Bahara Karmel? You know what the answer is? It was a Horasha. You know, I can't do that. You know, a lot of things in Chumash you can't do, no? Anytime you have a Horasha, anytime you have a Horasha, no? So the circumstance was significant that Eliyahu HaNavi offered a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But for us, it would be Nisa D'Oraisa. But you know what? Under such circumstance, it was the appropriate thing to do. It's fascinating. One couldn't understand in two ways, no? Eliyahu HaNavi offering the carbon in such a way, was that Petoris Eliyahu HaNavi, or was that Petoris Tishbi Yitaritz, no? Was that a Nevuah? Where a Navi can be Oker Dov Minatar as a Rasha? Or was that a Chacham? A Chacham, no? Yesh Koch Be'ar Chachamim. We discussed yesterday, no? Yesh Koch Be'ar Chachamim. I'll ask me, okay, no. Every circumstance is different. Just because there's a koach of Akiras Dov Minatar does not necessarily mean that everything meets the requirements of Akiras Dov Minatar. I'll say, Poshim Shat, that's what the Rashi was driving at, in the sense that, how could Yaakov do this? The answer is, the circumstance was absolutely different. And you can compare it to Aravodas Hashem, Kodem Matan Torah, Lachar Matan Torah, the Avos, the Imos, the Hagdara. You can't begin to compare. Just like a person can't ask that if I can take a lulav, so why can't I take a rose? You know, that's exactly what the Rashba writes. What exactly is the question? If I can do malacha during Chol, why can't I do malacha on Shabbos? But obviously that there are distinctions. And the Avos were in a unique class because of who they were, because of Kodem Matan Torah, because of the repercussions of everything that they did. Right, and therefore, the Rashba writes, how can you ask that, you know what, that for us, right, Kedushas Yisrael, Lachar Matan Torah, that we're troubled that how it is that the Avos were able to. But it's an important Marmakom to see. Okay, so Meretz Hashem, we're Monday. Okay, Monday we have to do the Kavah Chomeres, no? Kavah Chomeres. Go through those things carefully, because I don't want you to get lost in the detail. No, but we'll have to know all the Kavah Chomer as well, Daf Dalet, Daf Yud, to be able to fuse them together. No, and what is a Kavah Chomer? What's a Gili Milsa? What's a Yochiach? What's a Pircha? We'll see how the things the sugyas blend, and then okay, not a big suda, right? Okay.
Monday. I don't know.